Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a question for you. How many of you did actually watch the Cubs game? The Game 7 of the World Series. I see some big Cubs fans here. Yes, it was amazing. I got to see it as well. But you know, I wonder what it would have been like to be there in Progressive Stadium to watch in person, to feel the energy of the crowd all around, to watch the amazing plays in person on the field. It must have been amazing to be there in Progressive Field with over 35,000 really excited fans. And I think there were they squeezed in something like 41,000, if I remember correctly. Just a great multitude of people. Not only was there a great multitude of people in Progressive Field, but also a great diversity in Progressive Field. You have Cubs fans and Indians fans from all over who come together in this place from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, all kinds of different hobbies and political persuasions, and all kinds of differences that are brought together in this great multitude. And then when the Cubs won the World Series, the shouts and the celebrations, for the Cubs at least, was absolutely glorious.
Amen.
But it pales in comparison to the throng around the throne listed in Revelation. Listen to these amazing words from Revelation chapter 7, verses 2 and 4. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. And later on in Revelation 7, 9, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. What an amazing multitude gathered all around. Now, it talks about 144,000. Let me give you a little context. First of all, this is one of several visions which were given to John which speak of the coming destruction. That's a scary thing, but also of the victory of the Lamb. If we read Revelation, ultimately it points to the fact that the Lamb is still on the throne reigning. No matter what happens politically in the next couple days, the Lamb is still reigning on the throne. So we have this group of 144,000 sealed saints. Question we might ask is, are you a part of the 144,000? Well, we know that there are certainly more believers than 144,000. Some have looked at this passage literally and said, no, there's only 144,000 that will be with the Lord in heaven. We say, no, that's not the case. Because in Revelation, you'll notice that there are a lot of usages of symbolism for the numbers. Now, the significance of some of the numbers. 12 is considered to be a very important number. Also the number 10 and the number 3. And let's do the math here. What is 12 times 12? 144,000. What's 10 cubed? Or 10 times 10 times 10? 1,000. What's 144 times 1,000? 144,000. So what we have is a perfect number. 10 times 10 times 10 times 12 times 12 makes 144,000, means the totality of those that have been sealed around the throne. Now, Ruth did a great job, and she read for us from the number of 12,000 from the different tribes, 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, from Benjamin, from Naphtali, from Manasseh, etc. And those of you that may have read Numbers recently might notice a similarity between this and Numbers chapter 2, which gives a list of the different groups in the tribes. They're not even numbers, but here in Revelation, they're 12,000, which is a perfect number. So a perfect number from all these different tribes have been sealed. But you see, now, because of Christ, you and I are part of the new Israel. For the gospel is not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. So that means that you and me, because of Jesus, are included in that amazing number of the 144,000 that are sealed saints. So no matter what happens, we look forward to that time when we are gathered as part of the great multitude around the throne. But you might be saying to yourself, or you might say to me, I'm no saint. I'm no saint. Maybe you've said that. You look at your children and you go, boy, saints? Really? You look at yourself and you go, I wonder where they got that from. Saints, really? But you see, okay, if being a saint was based on how you felt about yourself, about how you evaluated yourself from day to day, then of course none of us would be saints. The scriptures are clear when it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, not even one. But you see, the scriptures speak of this in 1 John chapter 3, and this is our epistle lesson for today. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. You being made clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, your Savior, who went to the cross for you, this is an objective reality. When you were baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is objective reality. This isn't about your fickle feelings, but about the stalwart promises of the Word of God, which don't go up and down like our feelings. So on a day when you look in the mirror, when you look in the mirror, you might say to yourself, ha, saint, I don't think so. But the Word of God would disagree with you. Because the Word of God says otherwise, because in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are declared to be holy. That's what saints means. Sanctus is the word for holy, which means set apart, which means you have been set apart. In Bible study, there was a whole list of types of sin that we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul says to the Corinthians, this is what you were. This was what you were, but no longer, because in Christ you are made holy, a saint. I'm looking at a bunch of saints. So we look forward to that time when we're gathered around the multitude. Listen to this in regard to baptism and being a saint. From the wonderful hymn, God's Own Child, it says this, sin, disturb my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. I have comfort even stronger, Jesus' cleansing sacrifice. Should a guilty conscience seize me, since my baptism did release me in a dear forgiving flood, sprinkling me with Jesus' blood. We look forward to that time when we will be part of the multitude gathered around the throne. Now, speaking of multitudes, if you took a blimp shot of the Cubs Stadium, you would see a whole sea of people, a whole blob of people. It's once you zoom in that you can start seeing the individuals within the stadium. Those of you that have been to a sports game have probably witnessed the Jumbotron. Or maybe you've been on the Jumbotron. What's the Jumbotron? It's that big screen, and the camera comes, and it zooms in on someone, and pretty soon all of a sudden they go, oh, look, I'm up there on the screen! And they wave or do something silly because they're on the Jumbotron. What it does is it isolates individuals out of the great mass of people. What I want to do today is look at the heavenly Jumbotron for a moment. You know, at the Cubs game, if you watch the Cubs game, you saw a number of people that were on the Jumbotron, including celebrities such as who? Well, let's see, Charlie Sheen, Bill Murray, Eddie Vedder, and a number of others. LeBron James was there. A number of different people were featured on the Jumbotron. And the truth is that within the heavenly throng, there are those famous celebrities, which we might zoom in on. Maybe you can think of the famous celebrity saints, so to speak. We showed some to the kids today. St. Joseph, St. Mary, St. Paul, St. Peter. And maybe we can think of others, such as, well, St. Augustine, St. Joan of Arc, St. Francis of Assisi. Any others? Well, let's see. There's St. Martin Luther, we talked about last week. St. William Tyndale, St. Hudson Taylor, St. Amy Carmichael. And then there's St. Handel and St. Bach. And let's see, St. Andy Griffith, St. Charlton Heston, St. Roy Rogers. You could probably think of a whole number of saints who are considered to be famous. Maybe they've got biographies. Maybe they've been famous on television somewhere. So yes, within the heavenly Jumbotron, we'll look forward to seeing some of these saints. And I don't know if they do autographs up there, but maybe at some point you can get a selfie or an autograph with your favorite saint. But as we look at the heavenly Jumbotron, we see more than just the celebrities. We also see obscure saints. Again, at a sports game, you might have seen someone on the Jumbotron that you've never seen before in your life, and frankly, you're never going to see him again. And that's also the case with the heavenly throng. It doesn't mean they're any less important. I know of a saint, two saints, that I doubt many of you know about. St. Carl and St. Mildred. St. Carl and St. Mildred. St. Carl and St. Mildred are not well-known saints by a lot of people, but they are well-known in my family, for they are my grandparents on my dad's side, who are now both in heaven with the Lord. St. Carl and St. Mildred have had an incredible impact upon their family. St. Carl, he was a pipe fitter. He worked for General Motors. Grandma, she was, as far as I know, a stay-at-home mom. And yet, the impact that they had was tremendous. I was cleaning out my spare room, kind of organizing things, and I came across my baby book and some mementos that my mom had given to us for Christmas because she was wanting us to have them. And I was just touched. I was brought to tears as I went through some of the letters from some of my family members. And I came across this one letter that was given to my mom and dad by St. Carl and St. Mildred, congratulating them on my birth. And here's a couple excerpts from this letter, which just touched me greatly. "Congratulations. Just heard the great news, and we are so happy, but humbly grateful to our great God who answers prayers in his own time and in his own way. I was a preemie, 3 pounds, 7 ounces, and my mother was going through complications, and there was maybe a concern whether I was going to be born or not. But so they express their faith and their trust in God. And then they go on and they say, may the Lord grant that he, that is me, may the Lord grant that he will grow in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And then they close the letter out and they say this, we love you, but God loves you more, and he has demonstrated that love in so many wonderful ways, but most of all by sending us his beloved Son. I'm going to keep that letter. That was from St. Carl and St. Mildred. Not well known, but they've been used by God in powerful, powerful ways. And maybe today you can think in your minds of some of those people in your family or in your life, friends or relatives, who have made an incredible impact upon your life in such an amazing way. And we thank God for those who have gone before us, who have given us a legacy of faith, who have encouraged us along the way. Saints in the multitude. So we have the celebrity saints. We have the little known saints, but also we have the unknown saints. How many of you have been to Washington and seen the tomb of the unknown soldier? Maybe a couple of you have been there. It's incredible. Acknowledging and honoring those who have served, and yet we don't know yet who they are. We also have the unknown saints, people that you and I will never meet, but yet they have been soldiers for the cross, who even now, even as I preach this sermon, may be about to give their life for the sake of the gospel, or just hours before, have gone and joined the Lord in heaven because they have given their life for the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. But whether the saints are celebrity status or little known or unknown, they are saints nonetheless. And today on this All Saints, we celebrate and remember all the saints who are with the Lord in heaven. There's an amazing, amazing hymn that speaks of these unsung saints. I would like to share this with you. We sing for all the unsung saints, that countless, nameless throng. who kept the faith and passed it on with hope steadfast and strong through all the daily griefs and joys no chronicles record, forgetful of their lack of fame, but mindful of the Lord. Though uninscribed with date or place, with title, rank, or name, as living stones their stories join to form a hallowed frame around the mystery in their midst, the lamb once sacrificed, the love that wrestled life from death, the wounded risen Christ. Amazing, beautiful words. You see, the focus of the saints, whatever their status, is on what's going on in the center field. And it's not a Cubs game. But there in the center is the Lamb who is slain and yet is risen. And around this we see a multitude from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. We think of the mission fair today as we support our brothers and sisters in the Lutheran Latino ministries and Indian ministries, because around the throne there's going to be an incredible diversity of people from every tongue, tribe, and nation gathered together with their focus on the Lamb. Sounds amazing. For now, we still wait for this, just as the Cubs have waited for a long time for their victory, 108 years. We also wait for the time when we will be gathered around the throne together. For now, we live in the now, but not yet. Yes, your Savior Jesus has been crucified and he is risen, but you know, I know that we live in a world with struggles, fears, doubts, political stuff, you name it, we're still struggling. But there will come a time when all of that will be made right, when there will no longer be those struggles and hardships, and as the reading from Revelation said, there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. Those with disabilities will have wonderfully, beautifully restored bodies. Those that are blind or deaf or hard of hearing will be able to hear and see with glorious clarity. And what will they see and what will they hear? They will see and hear the Lamb upon the throne, and they will hear the multitude in celebration. How many people were at the Cubs parade? 2.5 million. And I've heard estimates of up to 5 million people at this amazing Cubs parade. And I imagine there were Cubs who were singing their song, Go Cubs Go, and a lot of the W flags, the win flags that were waving in the breeze. Marvelous celebration, even dyeing the Chicago River blue. Imagine that. But even that amazing celebration of the shouts and screams and tears of joy will pale in comparison to the celebration of the throne or of the saints around the throne. And can you imagine? Okay, it's one thing to have a stadium full of 35,000 people, but can you imagine that times 1,000 or times 1,000,000? A multitude that, as far as the eye can see, can you imagine the roar of the crowd as they see the Lamb in the center, deafening, shaking the earth? It's beyond, absolutely beyond our imagination. Waving palm branches, shouting in victory to the Lamb. For salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until you and I join that marvelous multitude with praise to the Lamb for life everlasting. Amen.